we celebrate the first Sunday after Epiphany. This day is designated by the church in its liturgical year to celebrate a great feast, the feast of the baptism of the Lord. Now, this particular feast can cause some confusion because we think, well, baptism is for the forgiveness of sins. It washes away sin as we enter into the church. So why in the world would Jesus need to be baptized? Especially by John, because we are told very clearly in the gospel text, and St. Paul reiterates it in the epistle lesson, or rather in the Acts of the Apostles, that in fact, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance from sin, a change in one's life, turning away from sin and toward God. Well, maybe there's something in that for Jesus too. Not so much because he needs to turn away from sin, because we believe that he was truly human, to be sure, but also the Son of God, and that he was like us in all things but sin. So why the baptism? What is instructive for us there is this notion of turning. The metanoia, the change in direction. For those of us who are born into sin, that change is away from sin and toward God. But for Jesus, it was a different kind of turning. It was a turning away from his development and formation in his human life. It was a turning away from his family there in Nazareth. It was a turning away from the life that he had known toward a life to which he was called, toward his mission in the world. It is from this point on that in all of the Gospels who recount this wonderful scene that Jesus begins his public ministry. He begins to show forth his teaching and his great works, all of which are focused in such a way as to teach us about the kingdom of God. And so in a very real way, this turning of Jesus is away from the kingdoms of this world into which he was born, and into that kingdom of God which has no end. The process of bringing that kingdom alive among us began on that day. In earnest it began and continues even into our own day. Notice in the gospel lesson that Jesus' baptism is different than any other that John had accomplished. Because upon coming up out of the water, the gospel or Mark tells us, the heavens were rend open, they were split apart. The Greek word that he uses there means literally to tear it apart. And so it is from that chasm, that split in the heavens, that the Spirit of God descends upon Jesus. It is that same Spirit that came upon those apostles at the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles, that story of that first Pentecost. It is the same Spirit that infiltrates the work of those first evangelists as they go out into the world and proclaim the good news of Jesus and the good news of the kingdom of God. And it is this very same Spirit that comes to us in our baptism, in our confirmation, when we are charged by no less than God himself to take up the mission of Jesus and to go out into the world and proclaim the kingdom of God. Yes, it's an awesome responsibility when we think of it. And yet, how much attention do we really pay to it? Most of us were baptized as children, and so very few of us really remember the event of our baptism. But in a very real way, it is a change. It is a turning. We maintain in our tradition an age-old custom of being named at that point. In the ancient church, when people were baptized as adults, it was at their baptism that they took a new name, because it was clearly understood that they had a fully new life, alive in the Spirit of God. We christen ourselves. We, in the church, are named at that point. And perhaps most importantly, at the end of the baptismal service, the priest dips his hand into the chrism, and he anoints the head of the newly baptized with that oil of chrism. And he says, "You are marked out as Christ's own." Another way of looking at it is to say, at that very moment, the heavens are rend open, they are split open, and the Spirit of God descends upon the newly baptized. And it is in that Spirit that we have new life, and that we are commissioned to do what God has chosen us to do in the world. All last year, we here at St. Luke's reflected upon the spiritual gifts that each of us possesses. And we learned in all of that that those gifts are given by God not for our personal edification, but for the building up of the church. Nothing is wasted with God. Each gift that is given to us, each grace that is given to us for a purpose larger than ourselves, so that we would become the very instruments of God in carrying out the mission of Jesus, the salvation of the world. We have received this high calling. Now, more than ever, we are needed, and that mission to which we are called needs to be lived out. As we endure the restrictions of a worldwide pandemic, as people we know and love are stricken with a virus, some very seriously ill and some even dying, the world needs the hope and the light that is given by Christ more than ever. We might think, well, how can we do this? We are confined to our homes. We can't even come to church to worship. But we do that in the way that we love, the way that we show love to one another, the care and concern that we exercise, sometimes in the small ways, even like just picking up the telephone and checking on someone, or sending them a card or an email to show that they are still connected to us in the Spirit. And with those that are in need, particularly as our economy struggles, whenever we take what we have been given by God and share it out with others so that they have what they need, we are doing the work of God's kingdom. This feast of the baptism of the Lord is not confusing when we begin to realize that it is the beginning of Jesus' mission and ministry. A mission and a ministry that was not completed even at his resurrection and glorious ascension. No, because at Pentecost, he sent the Spirit to us that we might continue this work through all ages until the end of the world. It is for that reason that in a few moments, we will renew our own baptismal promises. We will recall the words that perhaps were spoken for us by our parents and godparents, but words for which we remain equally responsible. These things that we promise to do and that we renew for ourselves each time we profess our faith in the creed, or each time we renew the specific promises of our baptism, these things are our mission. They are our high calling. And it is today that that work must begin yet again. Begin anew. Never exhausted, the grace of God constantly flows out like life-giving water. And it is we, the people of God, the body of Christ, where the Spirit lives in our hearts, we are the source of that water for a thirsty world. Let us prepare ourselves then to be for the world what Jesus has been for us. For we are the body of Christ. That is what we celebrate at this holy table. That we come together in the Spirit, whether we are physically present to one another or not, and that we remain connected as the parts of a body are connected and working toward the same purpose, working toward the same end. We can do that as mightily as prayer warriors in the church, praying for the help that is needed for those who are sick and alone, for those who suffer, for those who are anxious or depressed, that we might be for them the very channel of God's grace, of that life-giving water. We can do it always, regardless of the limitations imposed upon us by the world around us, for we live in the Spirit of God, a Spirit that is life, a Spirit that created the world, a Spirit that gives us life eternal. May that same Spirit find a place in our hearts again, that we might begin again and accomplish that to which we all are called.